Okay. Fine. Okay. So we'll say, so we have the Schos Baruch Hashem today to begin the new parak. To begin the new parak. Today's daf is Nun Ches 58. And we are picking up Emir Hashem at the Mishnah on 58. So the Mishnah says as follows. Kachek Adoshim. Shachtan Barosh Mizbeach. So we'll say, so today, remember again, now after the Parsha, after the Parak of Ezu Makoman, so remember again, we are armed with a bit more information than what we had before. So if you remember again, second. Okay, so if you remember again, when it came to Kodshei Kadoshim, so we established where Kodshei Kadoshim Shechted. They're Shechted B'Tzafon, in the north, in this area. Now, as we also spoke about over here, remember Tzafon really extends just a bit beyond this band of the Mizbeach, but that's a Machlokas. Over here is a Machlokas. Over here is a Machlokas. Kodshim Kalim, where could Kodshim Kalim be Shechted? Anywhere, right? And remember again, even in back of the Mikdash, thanks to these small entranceways by the Beis HaChalifos, by the knife chamber. Okay, so now the Mishnah kind of transitions to an interesting, different kind of discussion about what about shechting on the Mizbeach itself, quite literally on the Mizbeach. We've never really spoken about it, because remember, Shechita is not done on the Mizbeach. That's not where it's done. It's done really over here. We didn't speak about this explicitly, but remember again, these are the rings that would hold down the animals. There were tables over here that were used to go ahead and cut apart the animals. So this is really where all the Shechita happened, but suffering. But what about shechting on the Mizbeach itself? So this is a discussion in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says as follows, Kodshei Kadoshim Sheshachtan Barosh HaMizbeach. So if you have Kodshei Kadoshim that were shechted on the top of the Mizbeach, Rabbi Yossi says, Kilu Nishchat B'Tzafon. Rabbi Yossi says, shechting on the Mizbeach itself is as if you shechted in the north. That satisfies the north requirement. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mechatzi Mizbeach Uladarom Kidarom, Mechatzi Mizbeach Litzafon Ulitzafon. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says something very interesting. He says, it really depends where on the Mizbeach, ultimately again, you are shechting. If you go ahead, literally again, the half of the Mizbeach to the south was counted like the south, and the half of the Mizbeach to the north was counted to the north. I will say now, but Pashtos, what Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda is saying is like this. Remember, if you go out of the Heichal, essentially what you have over here is like a line, like an east-west line that goes through the Mizbeach. What Rabbi Yossi Behuda seems to be saying is like this. If you shecht it to the south of that line, then that is like shechting on the south. Obviously, what's the status with shechting Kodshei Kadoshim on the south? It's invalid. If you shecht to the north of the line on the Mizbeach, then ultimately it's like shechting in the north, and that would be okay. So that's the Pasha. So as I say, therefore again, halacha lemaisa, fundamental machlokes, if you shecht on, literally, and mostly, just to be clear, we're talking about now a case of shechting on the what we'll call the top, the gag, the roof of the Mizbeach. So Rabbi Yossi says, totally fine, it satisfies the north requirement. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says, it depends where you're shechting. If you're shechting, now again, imagine that imaginary line that bisects the east-west, coming out of the middle of the Heichal, so bisects east-west, if you shecht to the south of that line, it is invalid. To the north of that line, it is valid. Incredible. Says the Gemara, let's analyze. I'm Rabbi Asi, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Omer Haya Rabbi Yossi, Kula Mizbeach B'Tzafakai. Now the Gemara over here references another machlokas that we had earlier on in the daf, which was, where was the actual Mizbeach itself situated? So Rabbi Yochanan posits that according to Rabbi Yossi, the entire Mizbeach was really shifted northward. That what you see over here is not really the way that it was. Obviously, this reflects the halacha lemaaseh. This reflects how we paskin, that the Mizbeach was situated really right in the middle. But Rabbi Yossi actually holds that the Mizbeach was situated further down here to the north. Remember again, down is north. Now, Bosse, so just to understand, when we say that, so just the part of the Mizbeach that we say that's situated, when we talk about the Mizbeach, we don't really, the positioning of the ramp doesn't matter to us as much in this conversation, because the ramp is really good, although the ramp was used as well for sacrificial purposes, which we'll discuss, right, or sacrificial rites, which we'll discuss. When we speak about the idea of the Mizbeach being situated in the north, we're talking about this. So according to Rabbi Yossi, so we'll say follow this, Rabbi Yochanan posits that according to Rabbi Yossi, who was the first opinion in our Mishnah, the Mizbeach was really moved down. to the point that the Mizbeach really was right here. This area where you see the rings, that's really where this square of the Mizbeach was situated. Now, when you say that now, Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah really makes a lot of sense. Because what did Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah say? Rabbi Yossi said, wherever you shechted on the Mizbeach itself, halacha lemaisa is considered to be north. So that's Rabbi Yochanan's position. Omer Hay Rabbi Yossi, Kula Mizbeach B'Tzafon Kai. Well, a second. If that's the case, then halacha lemaisa, why does Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah say Ki'ilu? Right? Rabbi Yossi says that if you shecht on the Mizbeach, it's as if you have gone ahead and shechted in the north. But 1 second, what do you mean it's as if? If it's true that according to Rabbi Yossi, that the entire Mizbeach is really moved down, and the Mizbeach is really situated almost fully in the north, then it's not ki'ilu you shechted in the north, it's what? You shechted in the north. To which the Gemara says, what would you have thought? It's very interesting. I might have thought that the halacha by Karbonos is that you require al-yerech. What does al-yerech mean? On the side. In other words, I might have thought that the halacha by Karbanos is that dafka shechita cannot be done on the Mizbeach, but rather again, shechita must be done on the side of the Mizbeach. The Gemara says, kamashmalan, that no, shechita can be done on the Mizbeach. And since Rabbi Yossi holds that the entire Mizbeach was shifted down northward, therefore halacha lemaisa, you could check anywhere on the Mizbeach itself. Incredible. Amr Rabbi Zeir Rabasi. So Rabbi Zeir said, Rabasi, Elame Ata, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. So says, that's Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, again, Rabbi Yochanan is positing that according to Rabbi Yossi, the entire Mizbeach was shifted northward in our image over here, shifted downward. And that's Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah says, you could check Kodshei Kadoshim anywhere you want on the Mizbeach, because it satisfies the obligation of Tzafon, satisfies the obligation of North. I armor the Rabbi Yizera Rabbi Asi Alameata, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Huda, Hachanami de Chatsya Bitsafan, the Chatsya Bidaran. So therefore I will say according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Huda, who are assuming does not move the Mizbeach northward, right? According to him, the positioning of the Mizbeach is as it's over here. If that's the case, then as we mentioned before, you have half of the Mizbeach in the north, half of the Mizbeach in the south. I will say, because remember again, just we're going to see the way the Gemara operates over here is with this imaginary line that bisects the Beis HaMikdash, right? The line that goes from east to west, or from west to east. Ultimately, again, and then part of the Mizbeach is in the south, part of the Mizbeach is in the north. To which the Gemara says, "V'chitema hachinami." And if you say that would be true. V'ha atu da'arbet v'shet Rabbi Yochanan modi Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Huda shimshachton kinegdan bekarka psula. Yet Rabbi Yossi, and this phrase at first glance is not going to make sense, but will make sense with the Gemara. Yet we said that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Huda holds that if you shechted on the ground of the Beis Hamikdash, the area corresponding to the Mizbeach, ultimately again the carbon is possible. So that, all right, well, so here this, in other words, let's take a step back. If we're saying that according to Rabbi Yossi, the way this works is the entire Mizbeach is pushed into the north. And therefore, again, that's Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah says that anywhere you shecht on this Mizbeach, ultimately, again, is kosher. Therefore, what did Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah say? He said that ultimately, again, if you shecht on the half of the Mizbeach that's in the south, it's not good. If you shecht on the half of the Mizbeach that's in the north, it is good. Which means that according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, there is a line that bisects the Mizbeach, making it half of it in the north, sorry, in the south, and half of it in the north. Now, if you say, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Here's the problem. There's another statement of Rabbi Yossi Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yossi Yehuda say? Shim shachtan kinegda makarka psula. That if you shecht a carbon on the ground where the Mizbeach technically is, so I know that statement doesn't make any sense, right? Because if the Mizbeach is there, then how can you shecht there? And if the Mizbeach is not there, then what does it mean it's the area of the Mizbeach? So we'll talk about that. Don't get caught up in details right now, right? Right now, just follow the words, right? Just follow the words. So if you shecht on an area on the ground that corresponds to the Mizbeach, that the carbon is pasul. Carbon is pasul. Which I will say makes it sound like that according to Rabbi Yehuda, then what? That interestingly enough, that where is the Mizbeach? South. Rav Ossi, which is pretty amazing, which makes it sound like the machlokis over here is, but the problem is that doesn't shtim with the Mishnah, right? Because in the Mishnah, it sounds like that according to Rav Ossi Yehuda, part of the Mizbeach is in the south, and part of the Mizbeach is in the north. And that's why it depends where you shecht it. But yet, there's no same Rav Ossi Yehuda that says that if you shecht the Kodesh Kodashim on an area of the ground corresponding to the Mizbeach, that the carbon is not good, which makes it sound like the entire Mizbeach is in the south. So how do you reconcile this? To which the Gemara says, this is what Rabbi Yochanan was really saying. Shneyem mikra echad darshu. In reality, both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi Yehuda are arguing on a particular pasuk. They're arguing on the interpretation of a pasuk. What's the pasuk? Rabbi said, by the way, just how incredible is this that halacha lemaisa, really what it sounds like is their actual machlokas is the positioning ultimately again of the mizbeach. And I will say, I just want to point out something very interesting. We'll come back to it. Be a little bit weiter. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan says they're arguing on the interpretation of a pasuk. What's the pasuk? V'zavachta alav es olasecha ve'es shlamecha. So the pasuk says, you shall go ahead and you shall offer up on the mizbeach your ola and your shlamen. Now, both say, now understand, and here's what's really great. Now that we learn Ezum Akoman, we know these different karbanos. Ola is kachay kadashim. Shlamim is Kachim Kalim. Kachim Kadashim are shechted where? Kachim Kadashim? Safon, in the north. Kachim Kalim? Anywhere in the Azara. So now what's interesting about this pasuk is, the pasuk says, on the Mizbeach, you will shecht your Ola and your Shlamim. So watch this. Rabbi Yossi Savar, Kula, the Ola of a Kula Shlamim. Rabbi Yossi says the entire Mizbeach is fit both for Ola as well as for Shlamim. Both are fit for both. So therefore, we'll say, what does that mean? Where is the Mizbeach? It has to be in the north. Because if you're going to say that the entire Mizbeach is fit, ultimately, again, for Ola, which is Kachek Adashim required south and required north, that has to mean that the entire Mizbeach is situated in the north. And therefore, again, whatever is good for Ola, by definition, is also going to be good for Shlamim. They both work. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda Savar, Chatsiyav Le'Ola, V'Chatsiyav Le'Shlamim. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda says, no, half of the Mizbeach is good for Ola, and half of the Mizbeach is good for Shlamim. Which would mean what, Rabbi Yossi? Which would mean this positioning, where that line bisects the Mizbeach, therefore half of it is for the south, which works for Shlamim. Now, by the way, Shlamim could go anywhere, right? But for our purpose, it means for Shlamim, and the bottom half, which is situated in the north, will ultimately, again, work for Ola. Because if you would think, Rabbi Yossi Yehuda says that the entire Mizbeach is good for an Ola, meaning that the entire Mizbeach is situated in the north, Hashta, Kula la'Ola kasher, Kula l'shlamim mibayi. Rabbi Yossi Yehuda says, here's what Rabbi Yossi Yehuda is hung up on. He's hung up, why does the Pasuk need to say that you shall offer your Ola and your Shlamim on the Mizbeach? Right? Because if you would tell me that you could offer your Ola on the Mizbeach, then what does that tell you? If it's good enough for Ola, then it's good enough for Shlamim. Because only Ola has the need for north. Shlamim could be anywhere. See, if you want to tell me that the Mizbeach was totally situated in the north, just say Ola, and I would have known if it's good enough for Ola, it's good enough for Shlamim. Once you tell me Ola and Shlamim, by definition, it must mean this type of placement, where the Mizbeach is in the middle, therefore only part of it is good for Ola, i.e. the northern part, and again, we'll call it the southern part, is good for Shlamim. Incredible. These are the Kula Ola Kasher, Hashta Kula Liola Kasher, Kula L'Shlamim Mibayi, V'idach Sabosei. So therefore, it turns out, Rabbi Yochanan says, and it's really fascinating, that the Machlokes in Rabbi Yossi, ultimately in Rabbi Huda, is how to interpret the Pasuk. So what is, again, the Pasuk says, V'zavachta Alav Es Ola Secha V'Es Shlamecha. When describing the outer Mizbeach, you shall offer upon it your Ola and your Shlamim. So Rabbi Yossi says, the whole Mizbeach is good for Ola, the whole Mizbeach is good for Shlamim, teaching us that the Mizbeach itself was situated in the north. Rabbi Yossi Yehuda can't be, because if the whole Mizbeach was good for Ola, then don't even mention Shlamim. And I would know, if it's good enough for Ola, it's good enough for Shlamim. The fact that it says that it's good for Ola and Shlamim indicates to me what? Part of it is for Ola, part of it is for Shlamim. Must mean this type of middle placement where the line bisects it, bottom half or northern half good for Ola, Southern half, good for Shlom. Incredible. So the Gemara says as follows. V'idach. What does Rabbi Yossi say about this? V'idach, it's tirech. So I'll say, according to Rabbi Yossi, why they need to say both Ola and Shlom? And I'll tell you why. It's tirech. Sadai t'chamina. Ola hu did dachik le makom. Ava shlomim delo dachik le makom emolo. So I'll say, I'm going to thought like this. It's very interesting. Rabbi Yossi says, I'll tell you, I have to say Ola and Shlomim. Because halacha lemaisa, I would have thought that maybe the only license to shecht on the mizbeach itself is for ola, right? Why? Because we also in general ola has less space for shechita. Why? Because all those kachek hadashim have to happen where? In the north. So I might have thought it's only ola where you have a license to shecht on the mizbeach itself. But shlamim, I will say, where can you shecht shlamim? Where? Anywhere here, I would say that perhaps you can't shecht shlamim on the mizbeach. Kamash b'lan, yes you can. That's Rabbi Yossi says. Halacha lemaisa, shlamim is included in the pasuk as well. Okay, so let's analyze this. So it turns out, therefore, halacha lemaisa, that really the fundamental machlokas in our Mishnah is actually a fundamental machlokas about the positioning of the mizbeach, which we've already seen before. Gufa, Amrav Asi, Amrav Yochanan. So now let's go back to this strange and enigmatic statement. So Rav Asi says, Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if you were to shecht the karban, if you were to shecht the ola, right, kachek adashim, if you were to shecht kachek adashim on an area on the ground corresponding to the mizbeach, that ultimately, again, the karban is pasul. Okay, now remember again, for our purposes, what did that indicate? That seemed to indicate, for our purposes, a southern orientation of the mizbeach. Therefore, again, if you were to go ahead and shecht the karban on an area on the ground in which the mizbeach was situated, ultimately the karban was pasul, because then you would be shechting kadshei kadoshim bedarum in the south, and that doesn't work. So just Gemara says, first of all, can you just tell me practically what are you talking about? Like, just explain to me, how are you shechting a karban on the ground that the mizbeach occupies? If the mizbeach is there, you can't shecht there. In other words, it's situated on the ground. So what does it mean? So the Gemara says this, Ilei ma'ama yisod, or ama soveiv. Okay, so maybe it means that you're shechting a bosai on the ama of the yisod. Right? Remember again, the bottom ledge. So it's like you're shechting over here. Or again, that's a narrow area to shecht. But I guess if you're very talented, you could do it. Right? So maybe someone is shechting on the am of the yisod, or the am of the sobe. What was the sobe, Rabbi Osei? Remember again, that was the elevated ledge that the kohen would take, right? The off ramp. The off ramp over here. And he would go ahead and come to this side ledge, and he would walk around. That's where he did the blood applications to the horns. So maybe that's what you're talking about. Maybe the shechita is taking place on the yisod, the bottom ledge, or the sove, the elevated ledge. That can't be. Why? Hai gufe mizbeachu. That's called the mizbeach. That's not called the ground of the mizbeach. That's called the mizbeach itself. Va'od, furthermore, mai kenegdan bekarka. Ultimately, and so what does it mean, the lashon of corresponding on the ground? What does that mean? V'chi tema, so let's listen to this. Da'avid mechilos bekarka. Maybe v'shachet po. Maybe we're talking about a case where maybe you made underground tunnels. Underground tunnels in the Beis HaMikdash, right? So therefore, again, you're shechting underneath the area of the Mizbeach. Maybe that's what it means. To which the Gemara says, no, that would not work. V'chi agavna mi havi Mizbeach. And we'll say if you were to do that, the mizbeach would actually be invalidated. Why? Vatanya, we learn, mizbeach adama ta'aseli. The pasuk says, you shall make an earthen mizbeach for me. What does this mean? Shehe mechubar ba'ame adama. Ultimately, again, the mizbeach should be attached to the ground. What does this mean? Shelo yivnenu lo agabe mechilos, v'lo agabe kipe. Rabbi says, it's very important. There cannot be any tunnels underneath the mizbeach, nor could there be any archways. So we'll say, by the way, you could see this in some of the southern wall excavations in Yerushalayim, that often the way they would build elevations is you would build an archway, like as a support, and then build on top of that. So the halacha is, the mizbeach itself must be flush with the earth. You can't have tunnels underneath it, and you can't have archways to create elevations. So therefore, again, both say, so we're just trying to figure out just a simple logistical question. The Gemara talks about shechting on the ground corresponding to the area of the mizbeach. I don't understand what that means. It's very interesting. The Batshe Betzurei. Shabbos said, this is fascinating. What are we talking about over here? we're talking about a situation where they decided to make the Mizbeach smaller. In other words, what does this mean? There is a certain area, right? Because remember, Yavosa, we saw this actually. How big was that? How big was the Mizbeach? 32 amas by 32 amas. Now, interestingly enough, let's say you just, so that means that's the space that the Mizbeach occupied. Let's say you decided to, you, not any of us, someone, right, whoever makes these decisions, decided to go ahead and make a smaller Mizbeach. I don't know, it's 22 by 22, right, instead of 32 by 32. So we'll say, so this is actually pretty wild. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi's the Basri Batsurei, it is four lines or five lines before the lines become intermediately wide. The Basri Batsurei, im nimlach lekatres ha-mizbeach, if you go ahead and decided to shrink the Mizbeach, v'nishar mechza shel tzafon panoi, v'shachat sham psulos, v'yafagav diyerechu, pasil, so let me tell you this outside. So apparently what's interesting to note over here is as follows. So we're going to have to get into this, but it sounds like that the dimensions of the Mizbeach are fungible. That, in other words, as long as you've got a square, and as long as you have, it's a large enough area to do what you need to do, which we're going to talk about today a little bit, what happens on the top of the Mizbeach, ultimately, again, it's fine, you can shrink the area. So what it means is like this, right? This is what it means like this. If you were to go ahead and construct a smaller Mizbeach, so let's say instead of 32 by 32, like I said, it's 22 by 22, which means now that you're standing on the area that technically speaking the Mizbeach could have occupied, and you shecht kodshei kadoshim there, what's the halacha? Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, pasul. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? That 32 by 32 square was situated in the south. Situated in the south, and because of that, even if you shrunk the Mizbeach, and now you have additional ground area, if you shecht kodshei kadoshim there, ultimately, the carbon will be pasul. Which is pretty dramatic. We'll see a lot of very interesting ideas over here. To which the Gemara says, so therefore, I wanted to point out what's unfolding over here is something ridiculously dramatic, which is that the fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda is where was the Mizbeach situated? But neither of them hold that it looks like this. Right? Rabbi Yossi is holding that it was pushed down to the north, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying it was pushed up to the south. That's their fundamental machlokes, which is really incredible. To which the Gemara says, "Am Rabbi Zera, Efshar Isa Lahad Rabbi Yochanan, V'lo Tanina Leib Masnisin." So Rabbi Zera says like this. Here's the problem. Rabbi Yochanan is really interpreting this entire machlokes, right? And Rabbi Yochanan is interpreting this machlokes ultimately again as meaning. In other words, I will say, I just want to point right. Rabbi Yochanan is interpreting this machlokes in a very dramatic way. That Rabbi Yossi has the Mizbeach in the north, and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda has the Mizbeach in the south. So comes along Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera says, could it be that Rabbi Yochanan is advancing such a dramatic interpretation and there's no Mishnaic or there's no Brisa reference to this? Like this is pretty dramatic about the actual positioning of the Mizbeach and there's no earlier source to this? To which the Gemara says, Nafak, Dak, Va'ashkach. So both say, so interesting. So Rabbi Zera is going to raise this question. And then what happens? Nafak dak va'ashkach. He went out and he found it. We'll say, what a tremendous Moshe Haskil. If you have a question, what is the obligation? Go out and try to find an answer. Like most things in life, if you want something, do it yourself. All too often in life, we want something, whatever the something is. We want success, but we outsource it to others. We want happiness, but we outsource it to others. We want shalom bayis, and we outsource it to others. If you want something in life, make it happen for yourself. Do not rely on other people. Rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But other than that, do not rely on other people. Become a self-reliant, self-sufficient person who makes things happen for himself. Rabbi Zera says, I have a question. Nafak. Ashkach, of Nafak, Dak, Va'ashkach, which Rabbi said, by the way, those words are so profound also. Nafak, if you go out, Dak, and you toil, Ashkach, you will find. If you are willing to put in the effort in life, you will get the results. And Rabbi said, if we're honest with ourselves, if we're not getting the results, chances are we're not putting in the necessary amount of effort. That is a bumper sticker, Rabbi said. Nafak, Dak, Ashkach. Go out, try hard, Ashkach, you will find results. Incredible. Worth it to do a whole shas for that line. Nafak, Dak, Ashkach. This nine. If people see you walking around muttering that the whole day today, I got you. I got you. I'll give you the explanation. Don't worry. The Gemara says as follows. This not. Listen this. Beru misham asi tehena. Yofim l'seder ma'arach ha'shniya shal ketores. Keneged keren ma'arav es dromis. Mashach min ha'keren klap etzaf an arba amos. Okay. It's very exciting. Very exciting. So watch this. So now, we're going to talk about now what happens on the top of the Mizbeach a little bit. Okay, Shabbos says, if you notice over here, you see like a lot of stuff happening over here in the Mizbeach. So here's what we're going to talk about. There was what's called the Lishkas Ha'itzim. Lishkas Ha'itzim is right over here, right in what we call the Ezras Nashim, right? The open primary courtyard, large courtyard. All of Klal Yisrael could come in here. I'm not talking about Tumah issues. Leaving aside Tumah issues, you could come in here. There's what's called Lishkas Ha'itzim. What do they keep in the Lishkas Ha'itzim? Take a wild guess. Ha'itzim. Wood. Why do we need wood? We need wood because it says we're going to see there's 1, 2, 3 pyres, right? P-Y-R-E-S, pile of wood, right? Fires, 3 pyres that happen on the top of the Mizbeach, and what's something in the middle over here. They call the Tapuach, which we're going to discuss as well. So listen to this. The Gemara says, they would take Atzei Te'ena. Atzei Te'ena means wood that comes from a fig tree. So apparently, fig wood burns very well. So they would have it in the Lishkas Ha'itzim. They would take it again, trace the journey. They would take it from the Lishkas Ha'itzim, come up the steps over there through Shaar Nikanor, then go ahead, come into Ezras Kohanim, come up the ramp, and I'll say, where would they put the Atzei Te'ena? L'sader ma'aracha shnia shel ketores. I'll say, now watch this. This pyre over here is called the ma'arachas ketores. Now again, what does this mean? This is the pile of wood for the ketores. What does that mean? Where was ketores offered? Ketores was offered inside the Beis HaMikdash on the Mizbeach HaKetores. Now, remember, how did they burn ketores inside of the Beis HaMikdash? With coals. How do you make coals? Like, I have no idea. Right? Good. Right? But let's go here. So you make coals by burning wood. They would go ahead and create coals on this pile on the top of the Mizbeach. Then take these coals from here down the ramp into the Beis HaMikdash. Put it on the Mizbeach HaKetores. So the coals were made on the top of the Mizbeach over here and then transported into the Beis HaMikdash to be put on the Mizbeach HaKetores. So watch this. Now, he says, L'sader ma'aracha shnia shel ketores, keneged, so again, this was the second pyres. Well, the truth is, we're going to see there are really 3 pyres, right? But ultimately, where was it? It was in the southwest corner. Because we're also, remember again, just to get our directions over here, this is west, right? This is west. This is south. So therefore, again, this pile is situated on the southwest corner of the Mizbeach, right over here. Now, it was not in the corner. Instead, it was mashuch min ha'keren klapei tzafon arba amos. It was pulled away from the southwest corner. Because we'll say, this is the southwest corner over here. If you notice, it's not flush at the southwest corner. Instead, it was pulled 4 amos northward. 4 amos northward. Okay, I'll say, by the way, if anyone happens to, I think what would ultimately be helpful if anyone happens to come across it in their Shas journeys, I have been looking, but I haven't been able to find the sefer that connects the pictures to the daf and the gemara. You sent it? Could we print it? It will print it. Okay. So, all right. So, because we'll follow along. I know everyone likes straining their eyes to see my picture over here. I'm going to continue to use this regardless because I like it. Right. But the Maisa, it would be good. Starting tomorrow, if we have it, I'll call out the picture number so you can see it on top as well. So again, it's very simple. So again, you've got your Mizbeach, you've got your Ma'arach. Ma'arach is a pyre. So again, one more time. Taking wood from the Lishkas Ha'itzim, fig wood, bringing it into what we call the Azara over here, up in his band, onto this pyre over here. Pyre was situated in the southwest corner. The southwest corner, again, this coals, then made, taken into the Mikdash, used for the gold in his band. It wasn't exactly flush in the southwest corner. Instead, it was pulled forward 4 amas towards the north. Okay. Now watch this. So the Gemara says, "Ba'omid chamish se'in gechalim." Now how much wood did they have there? They had enough wood in order to create 5 se'in. That's the measure of gechalim of coals. U'b'Shabbos ba'omid shmona se'in gechalim. And Shabbos they added enough wood to create 8 se'in of coals. Now both say, now why did they need more coals ultimately on Shabbos? Shesham hayu nosnin shnei bazichei levona shal lechem ha'panim. Because we'll say, so remember again, interesting enough, something in addition happened on Shabbos. Now, generally, this pyre was made to create coals, which means you didn't really burn anything on it, except on Shabbos. Remember again, I'll say, what happens on Shabbos? Inside of the Beis HaMikdash is the Shulchan. The Shulchan has on it the Lechem HaPanim, the showbread. On there were 12 loaves on there. On Shabbos, the old loaves, and one of the miracles of the Beis HaMikdash was that the loaves remained fresh, even though they were on the Shulchan for an entire week. The old loaves, so to speak, were given to the outgoing shift of Kohanim. On that Shulchan were also positioned two spoons, really like small ladles, but two spoons of what we call Lavona, frankincense. When the old loaves were taken off, the spoons of frankincense were also taken off. They were then taken out of the Mikdash of the Heichal, brought onto the Mizbeach, and burned on this ma'aracha, on this pyre. So once a week, something was burned on this pyre. So generally, again, throughout the week, this pyre was used to make coals for the Mizbeach HaKetores. On Shabbos, they would burn the two spoons of frankincense. So because of that, they had to add extra wood because they needed more coals. Coals for the Mizbeach HaKetores, the incense, and also coals to burn the two spoons of frankincense. Incredible. So the Gemara says, my simna. Ultimately, again, so we'll say, what now, my simna, the Gemara says, what's the simna? What is it? Take a look at Rashi. That's Rashi. And that's my simna. Mau asimin, shehuk ba lahem lema'aracha shniya laktaras habazichin, karen ma'aravis terovis umashuch arba amos ma'a karen safon. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. Now, how do we know, or what's the simin ultimately, again, what is important about the fact that this ma'aracha, that this pyre, was, although it was in the southwest corner, it was pulled 4 amas forward. What's the logic? My sin, no. Rabbi Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi he. Ultimately, again, it's Rabbi Yossi, Disanya, Bosei Amud Beis, Disanya. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ze Simen. This is the Simen. The Gemara says, Kol Hanitel Bifnim. Listen to this. It's actually very interesting. We're going to spend some time on this. Kol Hanitel Bifnim, Linasin Bachotz. Anything ultimately, again, that is taken from the inside. Inside ultimately means inside the Heichal. Anything ultimately, again, taken from the inside. Linasin bachutz, ultimately, again, to be applied outside. Eino nosin ela b'samach she'ein lifnim. So I'll say, so listen to this. Again, he's going to espouse the principle that we'll plug it into what it actually means. Anything that is taken from inside the Mikdash to outside, is placed outside in an area that is directly adjacent to the inside, but is not inside. Okay? One more time. Anything that you take from the inside to the outside is placed on the outside. When placed on the outside, is placed on an outside area that is immediately adjacent to the inside, but is not inside. Okay? Like I said, let me give the examples and I'll make a little bit more sense. Similarly, we'll say third line down, 58b. Similarly, again, anything you take from the outside to go ahead and put inside, we place it inside, right? Adjacent to the outside, as long as it's not outside. Okay, now the Gemara says, what does this mean? Let's illustrate it with some principles or with some examples. So what does this mean? Kalanital bifnim linasen b'chutz ma'inihu. Give me an example of something that is taken from the inside and taken out to the outside. Give me an example of this. Ilim shirayim. See if you want to say it's shirayim. I will say it's been a little while since we've had shirayim. Right, so again, if you want to say it's the leftover blood, so the Gemara says, okay, behedjik sibu. So that I don't need a drasha. That's an explicit pasuk. What's the pasuk? Al yisod misbach ha'ola she pesach ol ha'moed. So the pasuk ultimately says, take it to the base of the ola, that is at the entrance of the ha'moed. So we'll say, so that's explicit. I don't need any drashas for that. V'sum, furthermore, again, kol hanitel b'chutz linasim b'fnim ma'inihu. Furthermore, again, give me a corresponding example of something that's taken from the outside to the inside. Se'ilei magichalim shel mekipurim. So we'll say, so maybe something taken from the outside to the inside are, for example, the coals for Yom Kippur. Now, what are the coals for Yom Kippur? That means the coals for the incense service, for the ketores of Yom Kippur, that again are taken from the outside, right? They're on the Mizbeach Achitzon, on the animal, on the, we'll call it the outer Mizbeach, and taken to the inside. If that's what it's talking about, behejik sibuhu, v'lakach melo'a machta gachalei esh. So we'll say there's an explicit pasuk. The pasuk says, ultimately, the kohen will take a fire pan full of coals, me'alam mizbeach melefnei Hashem, umolo chafnav, kitorasem endaka, vehevi mi beis laparochas. So we'll say, so again, there the Torah talks about the explicit placement of it. To which the Gemara says, Ella, so we're still looking for examples of these principles. Ella, kol hanital bifnim linasein bachos. Give me an example of something that is taken from the inside and taken outside. What does that refer to? Shnei bazichei levona shel lechem hapanim digemiri mishirayim. So we'll say, listen to this. Give me an example of something that's taken from the outside to the inside. Oh, well, so what did we just say before? On Shabbos, the lechem hapanim, right, the show bread that is on the shulchan, is given to the kohanim. When they give out that lechem hapanim, the two spoons or small ladles of frankincense of levona are taken out of the Beis HaMikdash, taken out of the Heichal, taken onto the Mizbeach, and burnt here by the Ma'arachas HaKitoris, by the pyre used to create coals for the Kitoris. So that's an example, ultimately, again, of something that is taken from the inside to the outside. The Gemara says, that's learned that from Shirayim. Hanita Bachotz, Linasim Bifnim. So that's the example we're going to use of something taken from the inside to the outside, the Lavona. What's the example? Anita Bachos Linasim Bifnim. Give me an example of an item that was outside, then brought inside. That's Kichalim Dechol Yoma Viyoma. Digamra Megachalim Shiyoma Kippurim. Ultimately, again, we'll say, so what's the item that's brought from the outside to the inside? What does that refer to? That refers to the coals. The coals that are manufactured on the top of the Mizbeach HaVeir, the Ma'arachas HaKitoras. And they are brought inside of the Beis HaMikdash each and every day for the Ketorah service. Now watch this. Now remember again, they'll say, what was the rule? What was the principle ultimately again that was espoused? The rule was, anything taken from the outside to the inside, right? From the outside to the inside has to be put on an area of the inside that corresponds to the outside, but is not outside. Anything that is brought from the inside to the outside must be put adjacent to the inside, right? Must be put outside, adjacent to the inside, as long as it's not inside. Okay, I know it's a lot. Now watch this. So the Gemara says, "My kasava." So we'll say, so obviously, what's going to complicate this? What's going to complicate this is the positioning of the mizbeach. So watch this. "I kasava kule mizbeach bedarom." Kai Esrim Visheva by Lemese. They both say, here's the problem. So what that means is like this. Watch this. Now, if you're bringing out the Lavona, or the two spoons of Lavona to burn it on the Mizbeach, right? And now, again, remember, where is that being put? That's being put on this pyre over here. If you hold that the Mizbeach itself had a southern orientation, then remember, the Lavona has to be placed on the Ma'aracha, but opposite the entranceway of the Heichal. Because remember, again, what's the rule? The rule is anything taken from the inside to the outside must be placed outside in an area directly adjacent to the inside. Well, the problem over here is if the Mizbeach itself is placed in a southern orientation, that would mean, the Gemara says, you would have to move this Ma'aracha 27 amos forward in order to make it opposite, ultimately, again, the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, so again, so one more time. If you hold, ultimately, again, that the Mizbeach was situated in the south, then the Gemara says, Esrim v'sheva b'ylemesi. You'd have to bring the Ma'aracha 27 amos, I'll use the word forward, in order to line it up with the Beis HaMikdash. V'inami kasavar, kidushas heichal v'ulam chadehi. Now we'll say, now remember again, what further complicates this is if we assume that ultimately again it has the opposite the entranceway of the Heichal. But if you assume that even we can make it the entranceway of the Ulam, because remember again the Ulam was wider than the Heichal itself, then ultimately again the Gemara says, so even if you want to say that the Kedusha of the Heichal, the Kedusha of the Ulam is one thing, then the Gemara says, Esrim Vitarti Baimesi. Fine. So again, it gives you a little bit more room. You only have to advance it 22 amas, not 27 amas. But bottom line, Abosai, the problem is the same, which is that what? If this rule is true, now again, the Gemara is operating under the idea, under the principle that the rule is a true rule and a universally accepted rule. That when something is taken from the outside and put inside, it has to be situated directly opposite the interior area. Which would mean that when you're taking the Lavona, putting it on the pyre for the Ketores, that pyre has to be opposite the entrance to the Heichal. If the Mizbeach has a southern orientation, it doesn't work. You're 27 Amos off. Or okay, fine, if you say that the Ulam and the Heichal is one thing, you're 22 Amos off. Ve'ela kasavar, rather we'll say, first white line, rather what has to be said? Ve'ikasavar, chetzi b'tzafan v'chetzi b'daron, chad, sorry by the way, so say, here's the problem. Remember again, even if you hold the Mizbeach situated like this, right, where again, it kind of straddles the middle a little bit, you're still off. Because the Mosai, look where the ma'aracha of the Ketores is corresponding to the entranceway. You're still off. You're still off, and you would still have to bring this ma'aracha 11 amos forward in order to go ahead and line it up. To which the Gemara says, Ela kasavar, chetzi b'daron, chad sari b'ilanesei. You would still have to bring the ma'aracha 11 amos forward. Ve'ela kasavar, kedushas heichal v'ulam chadamilsehi shis b'ilanesei. Now again, now if you hold that ultimately, again, it's not as much corresponding to this entranceway, but rather again corresponding to the ulam, which is a much larger entranceway, then fine. Then ultimately, again, instead of having to move it forward 11 amos, all you need to do is move it forward 6. But I will say, but bottom line, either way, what do you begin to see? Whether the Mizbeach is situated in the southern orientation, or even if it's like this, where it straddles both, your Ma'aracha for Ketores is not lining up with the entrance we have the Heichal, which then means that the rule is not being followed. To which the Gemara says, Ela, Lav Mishum de Kasavar, Kulim Mizbeach B'Tzafon Kai. So I will say, rather, it must be that what? It must be that in order for this rule to work, where is the Mizbeach? Watch this. The Mizbeach is in the north. Oh, so I will say, by the way, now visually you can even begin to see this. So imagine for a moment, remember, if this entire square is pushed down northward, then I can see how we begin to see the formulation of where this ma'aracha, this pyre, is going to become opposite this entranceway. And then the rule ultimately, again, will work. Rabbi, you know, we'll have to stop over here. I thought, okay, sorry, we moved a little bit slower, but definitely worth it. So exciting. Mamish, like a tour through the Beis HaMikdash. Emirat Hashem to be continued tomorrow. And Emirat Hashem, we'll see. Again, it's a little bit of a little bit anticlimactic, because you see obviously how the Rambam paskins with the orientation of the Mizbeach, but Emirat Hashem will work through the process tomorrow. Shkayach, everyone. Everyone, have a great day.
Isn't this a Midos?
It's all Midos. Midos and Tamid. Yep.